And now for a story that is out of this world, literally. As you may have heard, NASA's unmanned Voyager spacecraft left the solar system. It's the first man-made item ever to enter so-called interstellar space, more than 11 billion miles from planet Earth. That is the sound from Voyager during its jaunt outside the solar system, and it was music to the ears of scientists who never believed this day would come. One of them is Ed Stone, a chief project scientist for Voyager 1. He joins us from Washington, D.C. And Ed, first of all, congratulations on Voyager's latest accomplishment. How are you feeling today?
Great. I mean, this is something that we had hoped would happen when we started this mission back in 1972. And here we are. We made it.
Well, what does it mean to actually leave the solar system?
Well, we've left the solar bubble is really what I say. The sun creates a bubble around itself with it, the solar wind blowing outward at 1,000,000 miles per hour. It's a plasma and carries out with it the solar magnetic field. And we've been inside this bubble until a year ago in August of 2012 when we now know that Voyager 1 left the bubble and entered the space between the stars, which is filled with the plasma from other stars that have exploded as supernovae.
And I know that it was kind of difficult to confirm that it had actually left. How did you do that? How do you know for sure that it has left the solar bubble, as you say?
Well, the key is the density of the plasma. The plasma inside is solar plasma, and that's a low, relatively low density compared to the interstellar plasma outside, about a factor of 40 to 100 difference in pressure. But the problem is we didn't have an instrument, a working instrument on Voyager 1, to measure that density. So we had to rely on another instrument which could measure the density only when that plasma is excited. It's only when the bell rings because you hear the tone. Fortunately, we lucked out. The sun sent out a kind of a tsunami wave which reached Voyager in April of this year, caused the plasma to sort of sing. And the plasma wave instrument could detect that and said, this is the dense plasma, not the low-density plasma. We were clearly in interstellar plasma for the first time, and it was projected back to August of last year when we crossed.
Now, this was a day that was never supposed to come. Remind us what the original mission of Voyager 1 was.
Well, the original mission was just a four-year mission to Saturn. But we launched it in 1977, Voyager 2 and Voyager 1 in 1977, so that if everything worked well, we could continue. Voyager 2 could continue on to Uranus, and then if that worked well, on to Neptune. And that was the first 12 years of the mission was really the exploration of the giant outer planets. Since that time, 1990 on, we've been on what we call the interstellar mission, and none of us knew how far that would be, nor whether the spacecraft could survive long enough to, in fact, reach interstellar space. But it has happened, and we now feel that we're likely to see Voyager 2 in maybe 3 or 4 more years also enter interstellar space.
Well, and how has it been possible? Because, of course, the power supply that's on there was a big concern, but also how do you make sure that it doesn't run into anything as it navigates?
Space is really very empty. You have to navigate very carefully to get close to anything, as it turns out. Even though Voyager will be cruising for billions of years in the Milky Way galaxy, it's very unlikely to get as close to another star as it is to the sun today. And it's not all that close today to the sun.
And is there somebody actually remote controlling it, or does it just kind of go where it pleases?
Oh, no, no. It's on a ballistic trajectory. It's in orbit. Like all the stars, and the sun's included in this, all of this is in orbit around the center of our galaxy. And so the Voyager spacecraft will be orbiting the Milky Way galaxy along with all the stars for billions of years.
What else have we learned from Voyager besides this latest discovery?
Well, Voyager really just gave us a totally new view of the solar system. One of the best examples is, before Voyager, the only known active volcanoes were those here on Earth. And then we flew by a little moon of Jupiter called Io, which had 8 active volcanoes, 10 times the volcanic activity of Earth itself. And this was just the first of many examples of where what I call our terracentric view of the solar system was much too limited. Nature was much more diverse, and the bodies out there are much more interesting than we could have imagined just based on what we could extrapolate from our experience here on Earth.
Voyager 1 famously took that shot of Earth as just a tiny little dot in the solar system.
Yes, that was in 1990. We took our last family portrait before we took the software out of the spacecraft for all the imaging. And there it was, the tiny blue spot, the pale blue dot, as Carl Sagan called it.
Do you think that NASA should be launching more of these and focusing more on launching these Voyagers that can go for so long and so far away, as opposed to focusing on missions to Mars or even trips to the International Space Station?
Well, these are frontiers. I like to think of the frontiers of space, and they're immense, clearly. The physical frontier is huge. The science frontier is huge. The technology, all these frontiers are huge, and you have to make choices. And since in science you don't know until you actually do the experiment what you're going to learn, it's best not to be too focused, to be able to do a number of things on different areas of the frontier, because who knows what the most important thing is going to be. So I think it's a balanced program is really very important.
Now, we should say that in case Voyager 1 comes in contact with alien life, there are a few things on board. There's a gold-plated record and greetings in 55 languages and photos from Earth, right?
Yes, that's right, and music from different cultures, yes, and sounds, both natural and human-made sounds.
Do you expect that'll ever be discovered?
I think it's really quite unlikely because space is really quite empty. It's really more a message to us here on Earth that for the first time, we could send such a message. Think of that. This is a message which has left the solar bubble already. It will be in orbit around the center of our Milky Way galaxy for billions of years with this record on it. It's a piece of Earth which was now on its own journey in the Milky Way.
Ed Stone is Voyager's chief project scientist. He joined us from Washington, D.C. on what I'm sure is a very exciting day and week for him. Ed Stone, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And Meghna, you heard Ed Stone mention the golden record. The disc includes an ambitious message to communicate human history to extraterrestrials through sounds and images. And among the images are diagrams of DNA, pictures of the solar system. The sounds include the rumble of a train and Morse code. And this, Stravinsky's The Rite of Spring, is one of the pieces of music. I hope the aliens are listening right now.
Yeah, it caused riots here. Who knows what extraterrestrials will think about Stravinsky.
Well, tell us what you think should be on the golden record. If they were to launch a new Voyager, you can go to hereandnow.org or facebook.com/hereandnowradio.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software. Find over 200 job openings at mathworks.com.